Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hola, amigos. Thank you to Mr. Ken Berthelot and John Forkett, and thank you to you, Senor Intern, busily cutting fresh, I mean fresh, Zion Williamson sound. Just spoke within this past hour, so we will have that for you as well coming up at 12:15. We'll hear a little bit of what's going on here. First segment, you want to hear from head coach Sean Payton because it is Falcon Hate Week. It's Bama Uh-Oh Week. Oh, is it still Bama Week or is it Uh-Oh Week? How do you want to, you know what, let's just do this.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is. Guess what day it is.
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more of that, what, that Camel Wednesday hump day, is that what it is?
It's one of those things. But that's head coach Sean of the Payton, Shock G, the Digital Underground, Caleb the Camel. As you know, it is halfway of your work week. Halftime, as I like to call it. Let's count them. The 9th, the 16th, the 23rd before you get to Christmas week. Little words of wisdom before we get rolling.
And to all the ladies, peace and happiness forever.
Ah, yeah. How you doing there, George? Doing well today, sir?
I know. It could not be any better.
I mean, you are all smiles.
I am.
Because Zion Williamson is fresh. With some new sound.
No,
right?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Well,
no,
I mean, that too.
He gave us an update on his health. He's ready to go. Stan Van Gundy, Mr. Griff. We're going to have all of that for you. Let's see who else spoke. The new big enforcer. Steven Adams. Bledsoe. I mean, we got so much sound
got
to get
all.
To. We're going to focus heavily on the Pels today. We'll also hear from the Saints. Again, they're back at work. They're practicing tomorrow. And Friday, of course, we'll turn the attention over to your New Orleans. Falcons hate week. I want blood. I want more blood. See, so much better this Falcon hate week than last hate week, right? Remember? Last hate week, Breeze, I mean, how many ribs do you even have? I mean, I had to Google how many ribs I have because he has so many broken. I didn't know. How many do you have? Is it every rib that he has broken? You know, you have to Google ribs. You have to Google rib fractures. How long is he out? Who's the quarterback? Yay for Jameis. Uh-oh, it's Taysom. Hey, that week leading to the Falcons game was just not what we've come to expect during Falcons hate week. As I mentioned, is it Bama hate week or is it uh-oh week? For your LSU Fighting Tigers as they get ready to take on Alabama, Nick Saban today in the SEC conference call. Jordan, you see, he said he's feeling well, hoping to coach on Saturday. Hoping to coach on Saturday. Brooks Cabina covers your LSU Fighting Tigers. We will hear from him coming up at 1:15 as Alabama is a 29.5-point favorite. When they travel to Baton Rouge, CBS, 7 o'clock, prime time, Jordan. Prime time. Sit back, relax, prime time, put the kids to bed and watch the game. No, you're shaking your head. I'm sorry. You're trying to cut me some Zion, and I'm talking to you. Apologies. Andrew Lopez covers the Pelicans for ESPN.com. We're going to play a ton of sound. It's happened the last couple of days. So we'll get you ready to go as individual workouts. It's off and running. I believe Sunday is that first team practice. We're going to have all of that before he comes on at 2:30, and it will keep him for 30 minutes. And we're going to go through everything that you're going to hear, where Zion's playing, the possibility of him playing a three, what he thinks, what Van Gundy thinks, where Alonzo's going to go, all these different things you're going to hear over the next 3 hours or 2.5 hours. And then Andrew and I will go over what does it mean and what do you expect to see. Two preseason games, Jordan, the Heat and Milwaukee, 14 and 18 of December. And, oh, by the way, we're still waiting for the schedule. It's not like I'm not trying to give it to you. But we did get a teaser yesterday. Jordan, do you know what the teaser was yesterday?
The Christmas Day game.
Christmas. We're tipping off Christmas Day action in the NBA. Pelicans. Who'd have taken on again? Who'd have taken on?
Los Heat.
Los Heat. I like that. It's supposed to be fun. It's one of the teams you're playing in the preseason, and it's the Heat. Again, one of the teams that did well in the bubble. They're going to have championship aspirations, and it's Christmas Day. Now, I'm assuming that's game 2. I'm assuming that's game two. The reason I say that's because the 22nd, a Tuesday, is when the NBA season tips off. That's opening night, right? In the past, it's been 2-3 games the most. I think it's 2 games, prime time, right? It's always the defending champs. So the Lakers will play in one of them. Don't roll your eyes. They're defending champions, and you're going to refer to them that way, Jordan, until the 22nd. And then it's all open season, and everybody's away. So likely the Pels will probably play the 23rd and then leave on Christmas Eve and then play on Christmas Day. That's my guess. I don't know. The team's still trying to figure out. Trust me, we're going back and forth. We'd like to know. And when we know, you'll know when it's going to happen. Hopefully, I'm assuming sometime this week, maybe, you know, you'll get some, at least half of the schedule, because Daniel Salerson said that expect the schedule to be released in perhaps 2 parts and stuff. So we'll keep you posted on that. Hey, did you know that there's NFL football today? Are you excited about it?
No.
Huh? No, stop. That was just an open-ended question, wasn't it, to you? But thank you for answering there, Jordan. Baltimore, they're going to play. Willie Snead's tweeting already this morning. He's upset he can't play. He's upset he's got this virus. He keeps tweeting emojis of, like, him blowing his nose and everything. And they're at Pittsburgh at 2:40 on NBC. 2:40. It's like a baseball kickoff time. What? I'm not going to go into a tangent. I don't understand 2:40. Why not 2:30? Why not 3? Why 2:40? I don't understand it. 2:40 is when they're kicking off on NBC. Saints Falcons, as I mentioned, they're back at it today. 4-7 Atlanta, 2-4 at home, but they're coming off of a beating last week, putting up a ton of points. Were you surprised by the amount of points the Atlanta Falcons put up last week? Especially when you consider, right? Especially when you consider the Saints completely shut them down 2 weeks ago. Now, look, that was then. This is now. 24-9 was the final there. They put up 43 on the Raiders, who were looking like they were getting ready to turn that page. And almost, that might be one of those cases. Again, it's just me. But it might be one of those cases where that loss to Kansas City turned into 2. Right, you were so amped up, you're ready to take on KC, you're ready to beat them, you came up short, and maybe you didn't focus on the Falcons like you should have. That's the only one I can explain a 43-6 beating. 43. But anyway, this Falcon hate week, so head coach Sean Payton, who spoke this morning, had this to say on playing a team that you just got done playing 2 weeks ago.
Well, look, it happens every once in a while where it's this close, and, you know, right away, there's 2 elements. I mean, I don't know how much the film of our game last week is going to help them, and then quite honestly, they jumped out on Oakland, 5 takeaways, and so you're studying the overall scheme. You do feel it's a division opponent, so obviously you know the personnel, and just like they know us, it's still about mentally and physically getting ready to play. A difficult game, getting ready to play with emotion and all the things that are necessary to win.
I'm going to play here in a quick second, obviously, Taysom Hill's performance. We're going to see more traditional role this week. And, again, you heard Sean again for, I don't know, the 15th time mentioned last week was last week, and the game plan was for that week, which is why he said, I don't know how much my film's going to help them or our film from last week's going to help them. He's inferring that's probably not the game plan you're going to see this week. What is important that I was interested to hear him say today is what we talked about back on Monday. And that is the fact that a lot of people are starting to float that idea because of what happened to Denver. Do you need to have that designated survivor? Do you need to have perhaps that quarterback ready to go just in case? Right now, back on Monday, he touched on it and said, look, he's comfortable with what they do. But he was asked a question about it today and a follow-up about it today. But I guess it's a legit question, right? I mean, because the Colts earlier this week said that they are considering the idea of having Jacoby Brissett, who was the starter last year, go Zoom during the week and be available and ready for the weekend. Right. Remember, it's what I said on Monday. How would you get a quarterback ready? How do you get your snaps in? You know, when the team goes off the field in regular practice, do you go with the coaches and go over the game plan and, you know, kind of do what Drew does, where he goes out there by himself on the field and goes through the motions. I don't know. I don't know. So, here's Sean on an emergency quarterback. How would you work on that, and why are you grinning at me?
I don't suppose you would reveal any players that nope. would be an emergency quarterback nope. on your team nope. that have the ability.
Nope. No. No. No hypotheticals this morning.
All right. So no, that doesn't really tell us if he is doing or not. He's just telling us he's not going to tell us if there is or if there's not. Sean, what about keeping the quarterback or a quarterback away from, say, the other groups?
Yeah, our whole COVID protocol we have in place, and I'm not going to go through it with the media.
Okay, well, there you go. So there is a COVID protocol. They do have a plan, Jordan. I think that's the key that we get out of this, right? While you are not entitled to know, there is a plan. And are you surprised by that? Right. I mean, again, I've talked about this week, and I talked about it on Monday. This guy is locked in. He's locked in this year. The man thinks of everything. I have a hard time believing, especially after just having gone through this weekend, whether they did it before or not, there's no way they didn't talk about it, and there's no way that there isn't a plan in place so they avoid a situation like that. Right? As far as Taysom Hill and how he was used. Is Taysom ever going to be that traditional role quarterback? He had this to say.
Well, I think it probably matters by team, but it's something that was pretty effective when he was entering the game. So is it different when he's already in the game on every snap? It can be. I mean, you know, in other words, in the past it would be, it wouldn't be unusual for a defense to play a certain defense when he's at the quarterback position. But now that he's there on every snap, it's probably less likely to get that same defense. So it can.
Okay, so there's a possibility there that you can see maybe that traditional role for the most part. But as he's mentioned, the run game still going to be very key and important, Sean, on the ground game.
No, in the game we just played, that plan shifted with the news of who was going to be playing quarterback for them. So obviously, we ran it more than probably we had planned. But the good news was we ran it pretty efficiently.
Indeed. So the follow-up is, how did you run it efficiently? How did you see it be so efficient?
No, that's been it's been a big point of emphasis, and it's something that we feel like is obviously important to what we do as a team and as an offense.
So there you go, right? Easy enough? All right, so that's kind of what you have going into this week here as the team goes into their first full practice. We'll have the injury report, see who's nicked up or not. Remember, Tron Armstead was on the COVID list. Placed there over the weekend. Andres Pete had a concussion issue, which is why he didn't play in the game against Denver. So Falcon hate week off and running for sure. Now that both teams are off and practicing. Quick break. When we come back, we will get into what Zion Williamson had to say. He just spoke within the last hour. So we'll hear what he has to say as he is back at the facility, individual workouts. Got plenty of Pelican sound that we're going to get through today. Will Guillory, bottom of the hour, Andrew Lopez from 2:30 to 3. We'll go over what you're hearing and what's standing out or not. So, again, Pels tipping off Christmas Day action in the NBA as they will take on the Heat, and it's right around the corner here in this month of December. I believe that first team practice is coming up on Sunday. You'll hear from David Griffin. You'll hear from Stan Van Gundy. Melly, Bledsoe, Adams, Zion, next. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street's been waiting for. Right between Canal and South Broad, the Big Easy Fresh Market is the locally owned, family-oriented market, complete with a cafe, a bakery, a deli, and some of the freshest produce and meats in town. Craving international food? No problem. The friendly staff will take care of your every need. Ready to start fresh? Make a note. The Big Easy Fresh Market, 2669 Canal Street. Like them on Facebook. Eat more fresh.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right. So apparently, there is a Reese Buster letting us know. The NFL game starting at 2:40 on NBC. Because tonight, they need to air the Rockefeller Square tree lighting in prime time tonight. There it is. Sorry, Comrade Goodell. Your game's important. Did you see that tree, by the way? I mean, what happened to it in transit? It was beautiful. It was next to someone's house. Did you see it?
No.
You've never seen what happened to the tree?
No, the Rockefeller tree?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, a simple search, you'll see it. It was beautiful. Next to someone's house. They wrapped it up, transported, and why don't you go see what happened when they unwrapped it. I'll give you a hint. It's being referred to as the Charlie Brown tree. Remember the Charlie Brown tree from a Charlie Brown Christmas?
It's not that bad.
Oh, yes, it is. All right, so. Yep, there it is. You see it? Yeah. I don't know how to put any ornaments on it. I mean, you see it?
That's not a Christmas tree.
No, it used to be. That's not this year's. Yeah, that's the 2020. I don't know what they did to it to put ornaments on it. But anyway, all right, so Zion Williamson just spoke a little bit ago, and let's get to everything he had to say here. First and foremost, how do you feel?
I feel great mentally and physically. Like you said, year one was a lot mentally and physically for me, but, you know, I needed that experience, showed me a lot, and now I'm getting ready for year two.
All right. Most importantly, starting off the season with no injury, right?
Of course. I'm looking forward to that very much. You know, I don't think no player wants restrictions, so, yeah, I'm hoping year two is going to be a lot different.
Yeah, me too. And again, Stan Van Gundy, earlier in the week, was asked about, you know, Zion, his health, and more importantly, if there's any restrictions. And he basically said, look, no one's told me anything. Let's see what happens once we start getting everybody on the court and see where everybody's at. But there's Zion kind of pretty much saying, look, I'm good. I'm ready to go. Now, so what he had to say on his off-season training.
where was I working? Let me stop. I was just, like I said, before I left the bubble, I worked out with the people that was closest to me, because, you know, they've been there my whole life. And, you know, I took their opinions and stuff, and we applied our training. I can't go into too much detail because, you know, I just don't like doing that. But, yeah, put in a lot of work, was with my family a lot. You know, with COVID going on, you just never knew what was going to happen. So always had to play that safe. But outside of that, I was just with family and just working out with my stepfather.
Overall, his offseason?
I feel like there's a lot of my game that I wasn't able to, you know, showcase last year due to, like, just trying to fit in with the team, find my place, and, you know, just try not to be the rookie to mess up. You know, it was a lot mentally that I was trying to process all at once, but, you know, starting off fresh year two, you know, we got a lot of new staff and new things going on around here, so hopefully we can come together quicker with that.
So he wants to improve on his offense and feels that he didn't get a chance to really showcase a lot of it. And look, obviously, 19 games, Jordan, is what we saw. We didn't get a chance to really see a lot of what he could do. Defensively, there was some work to be done there. Zion on improving his defense.
Honestly, just be a basketball player. You know, once I feel like I, you know my teammates, know where everybody's going to be at certain points, just being a basketball player will allow me to attack from anywhere on the court, get better shots, and just, you know, facilitate.
Again, you know, being able to react rather than think. It's one of the smartest things that you have to do as a player. So he was asked, what did he feel he learned the most in his first year?
You know, I said it a lot last year. But over the summer and the you know, the off season, I think I've come to truly understand it a lot more. And that's it's just take each moment, like, by each moment, like, live moment by moment, because, you know, last year, like, so much happened, and I felt like it all happened at once, and there were so many directions that I had to, like, look and, like, things that I had to do that I couldn't live in the moment. But I think this year I have a better understanding of it, and it will be living in the moment, because I feel like when I live in the moment, I can cherish it a lot more. And, you know, that allows me to have fun and be who I am.
Again, I think it's one of the reasons why Stan Van Gundy's the head coach. Right? I mean, you hear his youth. I mean, he's a kid. Right? I mean, he's a young adult. I get it. Let's refer to it from that aspect. But I think, again, it's one of the reasons Stan Van Gundy's the head coach of this team. Because it's not just him. Brandon Ingram is young. A lot of players. Jackson Hayes, Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I mean, there's a lot of really young men on this team. And I know I didn't want to refer to it, and some people don't like hearing it when I kind of refer to it as a father figure, but somebody that knows the game, knows life, knows how to be a professional, knows how to handle the expectations, the scrutiny of being a high-profile athlete. You got all of that in coach. You also have a guy that's going to help you foundationally and fundamentally and the mental aspect of the game. And has a personality big enough that when stuff doesn't go well, he's got it. He can deflect it from you. We literally just had a segment ago where Sean Payne told you, I got a plan, I'm telling you. When it's done, it's over. When you have a coach that's that strong personality-wise, you can ask him all you want. The guy shut down any thought for you to ever have on Sunday and Monday that Taysom Hill had a terrible quarterback game. And he did. I don't care what Sean's telling me. It wasn't pretty. I mean, you absolutely have every right to look at that game and go, oh, boy. And now, look, he can tell you all he wants. And I do think part of that was, hey, we're going to do it this way. But, yeah, look, but that's the point. When you have a coach like that, this is what I said. No, this is what I said. I don't know if that's how Stan's going to be, but having a coach that's that strong helps. Helps the players, helps all of that. Zion was asked, where does he want to see his game improve the most?
Honestly, probably going to hate me for this, but my answer is going to be very vague, but this answer does. This means a lot to me. The part I'm looking forward to is showing the world me, just being myself and going out there and having fun and showing my competitive nature and trying to win. I know that's very vague and not the answer you're maybe looking for, but that's the answer that is that just hits different for me. I just want to show the world my love, my passion, my competitive spirit for the game. That's what I'm most excited to show the world.
I get what he's saying. At least I do. I do. You can look at me all you want like that.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what he's saying? I'll tell you exactly what he's saying. You remember a year ago? Coming off of a year ago, let's go a year and a half ago, right? When it was college basketball?
Yeah.
He was at Duke. Do you remember that time? Oh. Do you remember doing the show in the old studio? Do you remember how we would sign off certain shows?
Yep.
How did we sign off?
Duke's tonight.
Duke's tonight. Don't care what you're doing. Put the kids to bed, grab some wine, check it out. You remember that?
I remember.
Okay. You remember who went number one in a draft?
Zion.
Yeah. You remember how everybody was fascinated every time he'd play?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
He's Zion.
What is Zion? What was so fascinating about him? Why was he must-watch basketball and television?
Freak of nature.
Doing what?
Playing basketball.
Well, what did he do?
Everything.
Hmm. I honestly wouldn't know. I mean, I know what the question was. You wanted to probably hear, well, I need to work on, you know, my post game. I need to work. But again, the guy had tremendous game. The guy played really well. Player of the year. He's pretty good. And I think that's what he's trying to say. Is, you know what? It'd be not, he wants to just play like we saw him play. And I say this routinely all the time. Unless I missed something, I don't ever remember that season at Duke where every single day people tweeted GIFs of him eating a hot dog or hamburger being at Popeyes. Do you? I'm asking you.
When he was at Duke?
Yes.
No.
I don't ever remember him being an injury liability. I don't ever remember Jay Williams and everybody else talking about how he shouldn't play that way at Duke because he's going to hurt himself dunking as hard as he does or running and playing as physical as he does. I just honestly don't ever remember hearing that until he came out and, uh-oh, the Pelicans won the draft. And all of a sudden, oh, well, you know, he's, I don't know. I mean, you know, he's going to be able to last three seasons? I don't know. I mean, you know, he's going to have to watch his way. I mean, he's a little bit. Nobody said anything like that I can recall. I watched as many Duke games as I could. And all I heard was Billis and everybody else in the pregame. Well, guys, you can't wait. Dick Vitale couldn't wait for the game to start. Never heard them start a game going, you know, it's going to be great. Hopefully he didn't eat his weight in burgers before the game. I don't ever remember that pregame. When it took on North Carolina. I don't ever remember the 5-minute pregame where the two play-by-play and color guys are on the court going, well, hopefully we will see this. It's going to be a fun game. Hopefully Zion doesn't hurt himself dunking. I don't ever remember a pregame like that. Do you?
No.
I don't. So I think that's what he's saying. He's like, I just want to go show you what I can do where I'm not injured and people don't think that I'm so fat I can't dunk a basketball. I'm telling you, that's what the guys, I think he's tired of hearing it, and I'm all for it. But here's reality. Until he does it, right, people are going to say it. Sports Hangover continues next. Will Gilroy get his thoughts on what he heard? It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being.
Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Whatever you send through the U.S. Postal Service this season is so much more than mail or packages. In every carrier's hands is a card with your handwriting. In every box, on every truck, is your message that you care. We know how much goes into your holiday mail, especially this year, which is why we go the distance to bring you closer. Learn more at usps.com/closer.
Hello, everybody. You're looking live at Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the rivers flow with ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Delicious.
Where every day is Saturday and everyone's a fan, even babies.
Fan babies.
And the seasons never change because the only season is college football season. Get a taste of Fansville this fall during a college football game near you. Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Grab some today.
Citizen.
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengaff.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Zion Williamson, a little bit ago speaking with the media, had this to say on his new head coach, Stan Van Gundy. Will bring in Will Guillory.
My impressions are very great about him. I think he's a great guy. He's old school, just like my stepfather, and just like Coach K. So I feel like that's going to be something that I'm going to easily relate with. Personally, I'm excited to work with him. I can see his love and passion for the game when he's, like, even showing me, like, small things within the game. And, I love stuff like that. So I'm very excited to work with him.
Will Guillory at The Athletic joins us, sir. Good afternoon. How are you, Will?
I'm doing well, man. How about you?
Doing well, man. You had a good week this week. Everybody got to see the shoe game. You and Andrew Lopez are going back and forth. We'll get to, Stan Van Gundy and David Griffin and Zion and stuff, man. But having a good week, man?
Yeah, man. I think this might be the biggest rivalry in the NBA right now. To get Lakers, Clippers, versus Lopez. Who's the sneaker guy on the
yeah.
court? That's what the people want to know.
I hear you, man. Look, I'm all for it, man. Any kind of battle is good for me. Let's start back on Monday. We'll cycle through what you just heard with Zion. But David Griffin and Stan Van Gundy, I thought they both said some interesting things. What's the one or two things that stood out to you the most? Mine was Zion at the three, Van Gundy having a plan on how to fix this defense, and David Griffin kind of maybe saying some things that, I don't know, some people took as I'm not buying completely. What did you get out of both men?
Yeah, I think you touched on a few of them. I think, how detailed Stan Van Gundy was and what he thought the defense needed to do to improve. I thought that was really big to hear. And him saying, yeah, this is going to be our focus immediately when we step into the gym is transition defenses, figuring out how to rebound, is stop fouling so much. And I think, that's something, Pels fans want to hear is that this team is going to have a focus on the defensive end and, not – worry as much about offense because they know they have a whole bunch of scores. They know they're going to put up points, but the way they win games is by getting stops. And I think Van Gundy is coming in with that attitude. And I thought it was really interesting also to hear them bring up, unprompted. It wasn't like we asked them. I forgot. I think it was Van Gundy that said something about Zion playing at the three. And I think, that's something we've discussed a lot. And I think everybody's talked about with this roster is who's going to be that big wing that could defend, the LeBron James and the Kawhi Leonards of the West, and maybe they'll give Zion a shot there. Who knows? But I think, what we've learned so far is that they're going to try to be creative with this roster, and they want to, be physical and just have a completely different identity pretty much from what we saw, the past few years.
One of the things that is interesting because, you hear that the three and you go, what? Where is he going? I'm like, I looked at it one way, and a guy that coaches basketball and I were talking at the gym said he looked at it a different way as well, with both kind of along the lines as to why I think you're going to see some of him at the three. I looked at it, Will, as facing the basket rather than back to the basket. He can use his athleticism a little more. He can come off the ball. He can give and go. He can do screens. He can do, just try to take somebody off the dribble with his athleticism. And maybe overcome a little bit of the fact that he's not as tall as some of the bigs down there. He brought up the fact that also there, if somebody launches a shot and misses, he's almost halfway across the court already in transition. So you're helping your transition offense with Zion, because while it may only be 5 to 10 feet difference, but if he's out on the wing, somebody jacks a three, he's off and running. That ball's already, you know, if you get the rebound, he's already in the offensive end.
Yeah, and we know they want to get him out in transition as much as possible this year. That's something, you know, I asked Stan Van Gundy about, is how much he wants to play in transition and do something differently than he's done for most of his career. But I think you're exactly right. I think the big thing now is they want to use Zion as more of a, you know, face fronting the basket, more on the perimeter, more than playing in the post. I thought it was interesting David Griffin brought up that, you know, Zion was extremely efficient and one of the best guys in the league at posting up in his rookie year, and that's not even a part of the game he enjoys doing. He prefers to play on the perimeter. If you watch, you know, his stuff from high school or him at Duke, it was a whole lot of him facing the basket, you know, beating guys off the dribble, and I think that's the way they want to use him moving into the future, kind of more like a Giannis Antetokounmpo type of role. And I think that's how you open things up for the shooter. So I think that's going to be the big test for Zion, because I thought last year he struggled a little bit with his handle, which is kind of surprising because I thought that was a really strong part of his game. So maybe, you know, during this time off, he's been able to work on that. And if so, I think, you know, it's going to open his game up even more.
Speak with Will Guillory of The Athletic. You know, when Van Gundy says, look, we want to cut down on fouls, we want to work on transition defense, protect the paint, things of that nature. Again, I'm just thinking of from a player's perspective who's played not at that level, but I play basketball and coached it and whatever. That's moving your feet. That's communication. That's, you know, that's help. That's work. That's rotation. Those are things that I heard in that 4-point plan to help defense. The hustle, energy.
Absolutely. And I think that's where a lot of it started. And I think, you know, that was something that was just a constant issue last year with this team. We were asking after games, you know, what was up with the effort tonight? Why are you giving up like 139 points to the Timberwolves? And, you know, why are you guys not playing with the urgency that we were expecting in the bubble? And I think that's something that, you know, I would be shocked if that's the issue under Stan Van Gundy, or we're going to hear his voice a lot in these empty arenas. I think that's going to be the funniest part of watching some of these Pelicans games. We're going to hear a whole lot of Stan Van Gundy yelling from the sidelines, getting his guys focused on the defensive end, and I think that's something that this group needs as a young team, you know, still figuring out how they all can fit together. I think Van Gundy's going to bring in that mentality from day one that they're going to focus on the defensive end and take it seriously and take it as a priority as far as their identity. So I think that's going to be a big change for this group, and it's going to be interesting to see how it shifts going into this season.
Speaking with Will Guillory, Zion spoke today. We'll get to his thoughts on what number one had to say, but I'm excited about Steven Adams over here. I think what he brings, his attitude, the work ethic, the defense, just the fact that, you know, you don't drive the paint without knowing his presence one way, shape, or form. And he looks comfortable already here. And I love how you said yesterday, he's like, look, I'm going to see OKC. We're good and all that. What do you think Steven Adams brings to this? And what did you hear from him when he spoke yesterday?
Yeah, I think he's going to be a big part of that change in the identity with this team, the physicality, the grit they're going to play with every night, at least they're going to try to. And I think, you know, the big thing with Steven Adams, I think a lot of people sleep on it. He's a lot more skilled than I think he gets credit for. And I think, you know, while Derek Favors was good in his role last year, I think Steven Adams is going to bring a lot more as a passer, a guy who can play at the top of the key with some of those dribble handoffs. So I think the spacing issues won't be as bad as some people think. I do think it's going to, you know, be some adjustment time that's going to take, you know, Zion and Steven Adams to really figure out how to work together. But I think he's going to be a great addition for this team, and I think having that presence in the middle is going to make a big difference with what they're trying to do defensively. You know, but the adjustment is going to be how he works offensively, how he can give Zion the space he needs, because, you know, this team at their best is going to be with Zion leading the way on offense, so they got to do whatever it takes to make sure he's in the best position to do that.
What'd you get from Eric Bledsoe?
Man, I think, you know, he's going to bring a lot of what Drew brought. I don't think, obviously not as good a player as Drew was. I think some of the offensive, you know, skills are going to be different, and some of the way he's used offensively is going to be different. But I think defensively he's going to be really important as an on-ball guy. I think he's one of the better, you know, guys in the league in that specific role, and I think that's going to be important. Again, what we're talking about here, making an improvement on the defensive end. So I think that's going to be really important. I think him in transition with Lonzo Ball is going to be a lot of fun. Both of those guys love to play fast and love to get, you know, other guys involved in transition. So I think The interesting, I think, I just want to see how he sits offensively in half court, what he does, how they use him. I think it's going to be a lot different probably than what he was in Milwaukee. So that's the thing I want to keep an eye on.
Hmm. Zion Williamson spoke today, and obviously you know he's going to get a ton of questions about his health, minute restrictions, what he wanted to work on his offense and defensive game. I think the one thing of all that I took out of it is what I just finished before we came to you. And it's the answer to what he needs to work on. He's like, look, I just want to be me. And I kind of went into break, Will, by saying, I get what he's saying. He wants to be the guy that made it must-watch TV when he played at Duke. He wants to be the guy that everyone looked at as a freak of nature. The guy can play hoops. And I told Jordan when we were going to break, I'm like, I don't ever recall, you know, seeing a pregame before he played UNC or Virginia or anybody else talking about, well, can't wait for tonight's game. Hopefully Zion didn't eat 10 burgers before we go out on the court. I never heard any of that. You know, I never heard he was injury prone. I never heard he couldn't play basketball. I never heard any of that in any of the pregames before a game, right? Did you? I don't remember that.
No, we were just talking about how many dunks he was going to get. He was going to get 30, you know, how many points Duke was going to win by. You know, it was a very dark time for me as a North Carolina fan. I would like to forget those times when he was
right
at Duke. But I think you're exactly right. I think you hit the nail on the head that he wants to get back. You know, last year we saw how great he was, how efficient he was as a rookie. You know, the 20-point streak, you know, all of the stuff he was doing, the 30-point games against the Lakers. But I think you're exactly right. A lot of people walked away from it saying, man, he was really good, but he wasn't the guy we saw at Duke. And some of the stuff he was doing in transition, you know, the chase down blocks, some of those incredible rebounds. And as good as he was, I think you're exactly right. He wants to get back to being that guy, being, you know, the athletic freak that's making plays all over the court, being a defensive presence. And I think, you know, a lot of people want to see, you know, the work he's done during his time away. How is he going to look? You know, how is his body going to look? How is he going to be moving around on the court? And I think, you know, that's something that he's going to have to answer. I've said this before, until he kind of proves everybody wrong, until he eliminates those doubts. So, you know, I think you're right that he sounded like he's excited to kind of prove everybody wrong as far as, you know, he can get back to being that guy. And I think if he does become that person, then, you know, the expectations have to go through the roof for this Pelican team.
I also took out of it this morning when he spoke about Stan Van Gundy, old school coach, reminds him of his stepfather, reminds him of Coach K. Those two men, Will, you know how important they are in his life. And again, it's why I seconded my reasoning why Stan Van Gundy got this job, because right before that he spoke about all the things he had to handle last year, and you could kind of hear him, his head was swimming, you could hear the youthfulness in his answer. And I was like, look, whether it's a father figure or if it's just somebody that can help a young man mature to being a man, understanding how to be a professional athlete, understanding everything that comes with being a high profile athlete at the same time growing your basketball game, I think that's why he viewed Coach K how he did, and he views his stepfather the way he does as well. So to hear him reference those two individuals and compare him to Stan Van Gundy, I reminds him, again, so that's why he's hired.
Exactly, and I think we've talked about this before, that Zion's the type of guy that he wants a coach that's going to push him. I think, you know, that's why him and Coach K worked so well at Duke, because Coach K demanded a lot of him, and he told him constantly that he needed to bring more. He needed to be better, and I think that's something that he's expecting from, you know, Coach Van Gundy, and that's something that Zion needs at this point in his career, because, like we were saying previously, you know, he did leave a lot, you know, out there on the court last year that people thought he could have brought more, even though he was great. And I think Stan Van Gundy is going to demand more of him defensively first and foremost. He's going to ask more of him as a ball handler, as a creator. And he's going to be in a different role than what we saw last year. And I think having the coach is going to be on him every day. I think that's something that Zion wants. It's something he's embraced in the past. And I think you're exactly right. I think him and Van Gundy are going to work well together. It's just a matter of, you know, can he do it? Can he produce in the way everybody's expecting him to? And I think he's expecting of himself. But I think having that coach there that's going to be on him every day and pushing him to expand this game and be a better version of himself, I think that's the best thing you can possibly ask for Zion.
Two final questions for Will Guillory. The Athletic will close out on the news that the Pels will tip off Christmas Day action for the NBA. Before that, I want to ask you, though, what else are you looking forward to over the next couple of weeks before the season starts and the early part of the season? Look, B.I., Zion, Adams, I mean, that's easy. I'm kind of looking and focusing at, if this team wants to be a playoff team and really contend, it's going to be the guys that come off the bench when the other guys need some minutes. So Jackson Hayes, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Kyra Lewis, like those are the things I'm going to be paying attention to as well in their development, because if you don't have that, then it's pointless.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I think the two guys I have circled are Jackson Hayes and Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I talked about them in my storylines piece on the Athletic right now. I think, you know, even beyond this season, where I think you're exactly right that if they're going to make a playoff push, they need to have more depth. They need to be able to trust more guys off the bench than just Josh Hart and J.J. Redick. Mm-hmm. But I think when we're talking about the long-term trajectory of this team, what's the most important thing? What we talk about all the time, player development, how this team develops these young guys. And it's not just about Zion and B.I. Of course, they're the cornerstones of the franchise. But Lonzo Ball, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Jackson Hayes, Kyra Lewis, how they develop these young guys and how they bring them up in this system and how they become a part of this foundation, I think that's going to be the long-term story with this franchise and how they can develop these young guys. So that's what I'm going to keep an eye on.
Finally, Will, how big is it the Pelicans tip off the NBA regular Christmas Day broadcast?
I think it's huge. And I think the most disappointing thing for me is that I'm probably not going to be on South Beach for Christmas Day, so that's unfortunate for me, but it's going to be a fun game, Zion versus Sam, and then we get to see a Saints and all, but that's going to be a fun day.
I hear you, man. Thank you so much for your time, man. Look forward to chatting with you sooner rather than later, bud.
Absolutely, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep, at Will Guillory, the way to follow him over on The Athletic on Twitter, and of course, The Athletic covers your Pelicans. Andrew Lopez will come up from 2:30 to 3. We'll talk a little bit more as well. Coming up next, we'll hear a little bit more from some Pels. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Great year-end savings start now. Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Huge discounts, plus year-end incentives make now the best time to upgrade at Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Super year-end deals. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners marked on sale. Plus, get up to $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book for your trade. The time is now for super year-end pricing. Check out the inventory online at GregLeBlancToyota.com or at Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Hollywood Road in Houma.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Need to see a doctor but don't want to leave the comforts of your home? Terrebonne General Medical Center telehealth is your answer. Our clinics provide same-day virtual appointments. Our highly trained physicians and nurse practitioners are committed to using leading-edge technology to better serve patients navigating the new normal. 70% of patients using virtual appointments for the first time comment on how easy it is to set up. All you need is a smartphone, tablet, or home computer. Visit tgmc.com/mychart to learn more.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. Also, our question of the day, real simple. Give me your top storylines heading into this week's game against the Atlanta Falcons. I already got one already. Not me. Somebody told me. You ready? You want to know what it is?
What?
Is Taysom Hill going to throw the football? Just run. Do you find more people since Sunday have mentioned stuff like that? Like, I get a sense and feel that Saints fans are not happy with what they saw. Look, despite head coach Sean Payton telling you he did exactly what I wanted him to do. I just don't think fans are buying it.
Look, so I guess from a perspective that I'm looking at, after watching that game, I was kind of disappointed because, hey, with Taysom running the ball more, than throwing it, you're taking those plays out of Alvin Kamara's hand, which is your best offensive player on the field. So from that standpoint, I was aggravated with it. But looking back at it now, mm-hmm. the more and more of those reps and calls that you get for Taysom Hill to run the football, the more uncertainty other teams have in game planning for Alvin Kamara. So you could do more things come later in the season or come playoff time because there's so much more unknown that teams might not know about. You could either run it with Taysom Hill or you could run it with Alvin Kamara. You could do all these different things. And if Drew comes back, then you have even more weapons on offense. So I look at it as a positive.
You do.
But I agree with Saints fans. I would like to see a little bit more pass plays and maybe include Alvin Kamara a little bit more.
So I do think I understood the game plan from Sean. Okay? Again, I played it on Monday a ton on his theory behind it. Here we go.
Yeah, there's a few ways to lose a game like that, and we weren't interested in one of those.
Okay, that's what he said Sunday after the game. He went into more detail on Monday as to why he sort of felt that way. And trusting what they wanted to do and how they wanted to handle that game. In which he talked about, look, turnovers. Because I told you, right? Tim, driving in front of my house Sunday. Hey, you know, how are we doing today? We're going to win. Saints. I'm like, this is what needs to happen. Pick sixes, fumble snaps, you know, completion that turns into a fumble six recovery. I mean, like, you know, blocked punt, missed tackle, you know, chunk it deep, pass interference, first and goal. Like, a list of things would have had to happen.
For the Broncos, you mean?
Absolutely.
Okay.
For the Broncos
I thought
to win.
You were talking about the Saints for a second.
Of course not. No. The Broncos to win. That's if they had all their, but especially that game when they didn't have their quarterbacks. Like, all of those things would have had to happen. And that's what Sean said. Here's my thing, though. Here's my devil's advocate. Or, you know, let me do the other side of it, though. If that's what it takes for your team to lose, could you not then feel as confident in this game plan? That if we execute and our defense plays as it's been playing, we should go out there and do what we do. I get what Sean says, and I get why he did it. And yes, technically it's smart. But you heard him today say because of the game plan, because of their quarterbacks not playing, he changed the game plan in the last hour. Here's what I'm saying. Be the Saints. I mean, I get what he said. Look, it's smart. I understand it. I'm not critiquing it, saying that he was wrong. It won. But what I don't understand is, are you that concerned then, right? I mean, am I wrong to maybe think, well, why would I feel the need to change the game plan to incredibly safe and conservative? If I believe in my team, if I believe that that might be my next starting quarterback, if I believe that this guy can throw, if I believe, because look, he made it apparent to me Sunday and Monday. Anytime he was asked about Vic Fangio's fancy defense, and what he was like, man, I knew exactly what I was doing and what he was doing. He knew everything. I mean, like the way he answered it was almost tongue in cheek of stop, really.
Yeah.
I know what he's going to do. Well, you're that confident. And if you think the guy can throw, I just don't understand why are we going to change the game plan to make it even more conservative and safer? Because you only make things conservative and safer if you fear that it can't be executed. Does that make sense? I think that's a reasonable counter thought process to, well, we changed the game plan when we found out they didn't have a quarterback. All I'm saying is if I know they didn't have a quarterback, the guy completed one pass. Isn't that the perfect game for Taysom Hill to air it out? I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, that is the game to try things. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. But again, it just goes to, it almost seems like I was more afraid than then let's go be successful. Like, what are you afraid of?
I guess I'll use your tactic. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, if you have more points, than you're walking away with a W.
But it's why I say I understand it, and it is a smart coaching thing. But what I'm saying,
why try to show more to other opponents that you're going to play?
What are you showing? I'm not. I'm just talking about run your offense, run what you do. Run what you do.
If you can hide more of those plays from
hiding?
Different teams.
What again? You're the number one seed. You're trying to win a Super Bowl. What are you hiding? Again, that's the thinking that I can't understand. What for?
Kansas City.
Are you really think teams are just pulling their hair out every single? Oh, what if Taysom's Joe Montana? What if this guy's just going to wing it everywhere?
What if he is?
I don't want to be the team where he's going to have 45 complete. Seriously? I don't buy that.
If anything, my favorite bite from Sean that day.
Here's what I'm at. Okay, let me ask you this. Not to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
But let me ask you. If Drew Brees is playing, the Broncos have no quarterback, you telling me that's going to be the same game plan?
I mean, obviously, Drew Brees isn't going to run the football as much as Taysom Hill did.
Well, okay, but that wasn't just him. He said he made a concerted effort to make sure that they ran the ball more. That's my point, though. You just made my point. He decided to run the football more because of the quarterback that he has. Right? I mean, that's a 56-3 game, right? If it's Drew. I mean, they still won by 30 points. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to understand the other side of it because it's gnawing at me. It's gnawing at me.
I mean, I'm not failing.
Look, I'm not critiquing. You won 8 straight.
Honestly.
You're going to Atlanta. You're atop the division. I get it. It's strange for me. For a man with so much confidence and so much attitude of stop us to tell me that at the last minute when he found out they had no quarterbacks, we're going to change the game plan to be safe. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I'm struggling to find like what you're upset. I mean,
I'm not upset.
With a win.
Why I said before all of this, you don't listen, do you? God, it's like arguing with my wife. You're not listening. I understand the premise. He's right. Get in, get out, get a win. All I'm saying is there's something gnawing at me when I hear, well, I want to be safe and we need to change the game plan to run it more because they don't have a quarterback. I'd rather, if I'm confident in my team, I'm confident in my defense. That's giving up one touchdown in 4 games. I'm confident in my running backs. I'm confident in Michael Thomas. And if I truly believe that guy can be a starting quarterback, what am I worried about? They don't have a quarterback. You understand what I'm saying? They don't have a quarterback. What am I worried about?
Injuries? Are you not worried about injuries?
What? No, I'm not worried about injuries. What injuries? You can get injured in any game. What I'm saying is when I take off and I land or the day before, whatever I worked on during the week against Denver, why am I changing it? Like, I'm really not changing it now. They have no quarterback. You understand what I'm getting at? That's the thing that's gnawing at me. And I think that's why you have Saints fans this week going, man, I hear what you're saying, Sean, but it sounds like you're trying to sell me some swampland about Taysom Hill. If you have faith in, why are you in his ear the whole game to not turn the ball over? You're only doing that if you fear that he can turn the ball over. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's only one reason I'm telling my child when he runs by the street to not go in the street, because I don't want him to run in the street and get hit by a car. Right? Right? I'm just saying, now at this point, he doesn't. He understands that. But like about half a year ago and stuff, the second we're in the front yard, car too close to the street, car too close, fire hydrant in. I mean, I'm constantly telling that because I fear that. That's the one thing that keeps gnawing at me. Why are you in his ear the entire game to not turn the ball over? Why do you fear that? That's the only thing that gets get. Maybe I'm wrong. Love to get your opinion on it. 800-998-1003. But it is. It's my number one storyline going into this. Are you, let Taysom, I've yet to really see, I guess, who Taysom is.
Or maybe could it be
that game was the perfect game to see what he can and can't do. They didn't have a quarterback. Because as I said, at Atlanta, you knew everything about them. You knew everything about them. This week, I thought, right, it was Mike Iaki. This was going to be his first real test. And all you did was you reined them in. And I don't understand it. Unless you fear. Sports Hangover continues next in hour number two on ESPN New Orleans.
Whatever you send through the U.S. Postal Service this season is so much more than mail or packages. In every carrier's hands is a card with your handwriting. In every box, on every truck, is your message that you care. We know how much goes into your holiday mail, especially this year, which is why we go the distance to bring you closer.